Today on In Spirit and Truth with Pastor J.D. Farag.
Do our roots grow and go deep into God's Word? If they don't, there's no way we'll ever have a depth of character. Could that be what's missing in your life? If it is, then it's probably evidenced by the thick dust that's accumulating on your Bible. If you were to ask me what one of the deadliest dangers to us as Christians was, I would have to cite the shallow knowledge of the Scriptures as being one of the main reasons.
You are listening to In Spirit and Truth, the radio ministry of Pastor J.D. Farag of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Pastor J.D. is currently teaching through the book of Romans. God helps those who help themselves. That's in the Bible, right? You bet it is. Chapter 5, verse 3 of the book of Second Opinions. And yet countless people within the body of Christ actually believe this. Why? Well, the bottom line is most professing Christians simply don't know their Bibles. So the question is, do they know the Savior? Now, be sure to stay with us after today's message to hear how you can get your own copy of today's broadcast. Subscribe to the In Spirit and Truth podcast or download the In Spirit and Truth iPhone or Android mobile app. But for now, here's Pastor J.D. in the book of Romans chapter 5 with our continuing study entitled, There's Something Missing in My Life.
Now, depending on your translation, it's important to understand that the word for sufferings or tribulations carries with it the thought of stressful crushings, a torturing of the placing of a weighty object on the chest so that whenever you inhale, it's crushing you and you're unable to inhale more air when you exhale. That's the word picture of this word suffering, this crushing, this pressure, this, you know, unspeakable hardship that I've now been the recipient of in my life. This, to me, is one of the best examples of peeling back the layers in the Word of God. This is what I like to call the explaining of the why behind the what. In other words, God will oftentimes say, this is what, but now I want to explain to you why this is the way it is. Now, I think you'd have to agree with me that if there was ever a man who knew a thing or two about stress and pressure, it would have to be Paul. We get a glimpse of a day in the stressful life of the Apostle Paul when he writes about it in his second letter to the Church of Corinth. Listen to what he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? Speaking of his detractors. I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Paul, wow. Hey, listen, this man of God, this man who has a godly character has earned the right to speak into my life as it relates to stress. He's a teacher to me, an example for me. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever noticed that you don't know you're lacking in an area in your Christian life until you see another Christian who's demonstrating it in their Christian life, and it makes you mad too. Your sanctification flees from you. Don't look at me like that. You know it does. It's okay. Lord knows your heart. I mean, you can smile with them and rejoice with those. That's nice for you. Praise the Lord. Inside, you're going, that's not fair! I mean, when they're experiencing joy and you're not, I mean, and God's blessing them and it seems like God's punishing you, he's not. See, I see in the Apostle Paul's life something that for my life I both need and want. And it's mirrored in the life of James, in the epistle of James. Who was James? The half-brother of Jesus the Christ. Can you imagine the pressure growing up, the stress of living with the Son of God as a half-brother growing up? It explains why again behind the what of his epistle. Listen to what he says in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Well, stop right there, right out of the chute. That is disingenuous. Really? Consider it pure joy whenever I go through difficulty? Really? No, I don't consider it pure joy. How can I consider it pure joy? Well, he's going to say why and how in verse 3. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops, there's that word again, the P word, perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything, not missing anything. That's how it comes. That's the way it comes. In other words, if this is what's lacking in your life, missing in your life, then this is how to be mature and complete so that you're not lacking. You're not missing. I'm learning in my walk with Jesus Christ that there are no shortcuts. These drug companies, you know, all these drugs now that they advertise on TV with, you know, they talk real fast that the side effects are internal bleeding, death, all that. I mean, no disrespect to the industry, but seriously. I mean, my goodness, I'm going to take that. The thing that I'm taking it for is not nearly as bad as the side effects anyway. I have to push mute sometimes on those things. Anyway. But if there was a pill that I could take, a mature pill, I mean, take this and, you know, and the side effects are, you'll be mature, not lacking anything. You'll be spiritually mature. You'll have character, godly character if you take this pill. Give me the pill. That would be too easy. So easy. Doesn't work that way. Hope comes vis-a-vis the maturity of character that is only produced from persevering through stressful trials in life. When my life becomes stressful, I can't remain hopeful if there's no maturity, there's no depth of character, there's no godly character. How's that going to happen? I have to persevere through that trial. Perseverance is not a word we use much these days because we live in an age of microwave Christianity. This brand of Christianity is drive-through. We want what we want, when we want it, the way we want it, in the color we want it. And if we don't get it, we start murmuring like the children of Israel. Whenever my kids start doing that, I just read them, you know, from the Pentateuch about how that God just killed them when they complained and murmured. Listen, I tell you, it's a great parenting deterrent, and I just be careful with that one, maybe. I told you to pray for me. Perseverance. I love what Charles Spurgeon said of perseverance. He said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. That's deep, I know. I'll give you a moment on that one, but think about that. How else could the snail have made it? Here goes the cougar, foof. There goes the tiger, foof. There goes the bobcat, foof. Here goes a snail. Perseverance. See, isn't this great? You can go, you know, home. Someone's going to say, hey, what'd you learn in church today? That a snail made it to the ark. Wow, that is profound. Absent that perseverance, you and I have no hope. No hope. We can have no taste of the cup of the depth of maturity. The cypress tree. You ever seen one of these things? They're more prevalent on the mainland in California, but I want you to notice something here. Now, the stress of the wind against it is that which produces the deep root system that strengthens it. Persevering through that wind creates the depth of those roots. Now, notice the roots. They're deep into the rock. You know where I'm going with that one, don't you? Look how strong it is. I mean, even the rock is crumbling, but the roots are still strong. And proportionate to the root system beneath it is the strength of the branches above it. And how does it get mature and strong like that? Perseverance. In other words, the wind strengthens it. The adversity strengthens it. I was thinking about this way. You know how when you experience a stressful situation and you get into the flesh and lose your cool, as they say? I know you've never done that. I'm talking about other Christians on the mainland. They do that. You guys are great. I've never done it either because I'm the pastor and I'm perfect, so. Things get to you easier, quicker. I mean, something happens and, you know, you're all up in arms and, I come on, you know. You've completely lost your cool. Why? Well, I think of the cypress tree. How about the shade? The cool underneath its branches. It's only proportionate to the depth of maturity in the root system of our lives. Here's how it works. Let me see if I can connect the dots. See, the adversity strikes, and our response is key. Do we go into the Word? Do we go deep into the Word of God? Do our roots grow and go deep into God's Word? If they don't, there's no way we'll ever have a depth of character. Could that be what's missing in your life? If it is, then it's probably evidenced by the thick dust that's accumulating on your Bible. If you were to ask me what one of the deadliest dangers to us as Christians was, I would have to cite the shallow knowledge of the Scriptures as being one of the main reasons. Last week on Wednesday, I read an article by Stephen Gray titled, 10 Deadly Sins That Will Kill Your Church. Title says, yeah. As a pastor, whenever you see a title like that, you're pretty inclined to read the article. You mean, I don't want my church to be killed and there's 10... Are we doing them? And you know what one of them was? Biblical illiteracy. Biblical illiteracy. He writes that the latest research by Gallup and other pollsters revealed the most longtime members of churches don't really know what the Bible says. And they believe phrases like, God helps those who help themselves, is actually a verse in the Bible. You know, it's right next to the verse, cleanliness is next to godliness. Yeah, it's in the book of Hezekiah. Don't look in your Bibles. There's no book of Hezekiah there. Neither is there God helps. In fact, I'll take it a step further. The opposite is true. It's the antithesis. God helps those who can help themselves. It's when we can, when we're at the end of ourselves, we come to Him. We grow in Him. We go deep in Him. That's the only way. Charles Spurgeon said, "A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't." Don't look at your neighbor's Bible sitting next to you. Look at that. Look at the pastor's Bible, brand spanking new. Wow, your life's falling apart. Yeah, don't. Actually, my favorite Bible sitting in my office, and my kids spilled fruit punch all over the pages, and they're all stuck together, and I just wept bitterly. It was my favorite Bible. Anyway, so I had to get a new one. So, but my life isn't falling apart. Anyway, you get the point. Let me bring it in for a landing. If you're here this morning and you've sort of put your finger on the source of your hopelessness, your cowering in times of trouble, please don't let the enemy package condemnation with it. Please don't feel like, oh man. Listen, I am keenly aware that during the week, you get beat up enough by the world, the flesh, the devil. The last thing you need in the sanctuary, this safe place, is to be beat up more. So please don't misunderstand me when I say this, but if you're here this morning and you lack this, I want to encourage you to go deep into the Word of God. I'll close with the personal testimony of my own daughter's death. And I'll share with you something that the Lord really kind of did in the midst of that with our boys, my two sons. They watched their mom and dad hold their dying daughter in their arms and weep uncontrollably and wail. I mean, and helpless. Nothing we could do. It was just a matter of time. But they saw a strength there. Now, as men, we're always taught, you know, big boys don't cry. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. It's not a sign of weakness. Really, the Apostle Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. But they watched us come together, cry together, but perhaps more importantly, stay together. Statistically, husbands and wives who experience the death of a child will end up in a divorce. It's as high, some believe, as 96% of couples who experience the death of a child end up in a divorce. And I shared with my boys that had I not married your mom, first of all, you wouldn't exist. I always like to put that in the equation. You wouldn't be here. I'm more loving when I communicate it, sort of, but if I didn't marry your mom because of her character, when our daughter died, your sister died, we would have crumbled. We would have fallen. We would have collapsed. What kept us strong? The roots. You know, it's interesting. Having gone through that, you should see my roots. I'm not boasting. I might a little bit, but you know, not really. But they're even deeper now. Reminds me of what Jeremiah said. If you falter when the footmen come, what are you going to do when the horsemen come? I think of David when he's standing there as a young teenager before King Saul, facing Goliath, who's been blaspheming their God for 40 days and 40 nights. And he says to Saul, let me at him. It's a very loose paraphrase, but you get the point. And Saul tries to, you know, talk him out of it for what would be deemed obvious reasons, to which David responds, excuse me, Saul, with all due respect, King, you don't understand. You don't know that I have slain a lion and a bear, and apparently you haven't seen my roots. You don't know the depth, the strength, the character, the maturity. Young people, listen to me, and I know some of you, you know, you tune me out every once in a while. That's okay, you know. Just, in fact, whenever I yell, it's usually because your eyes, eyelids, and that's when I go Palestinian, you know, and I wake you up, and then I got you again for another probably 2.5 minutes, but that's okay. Young people, listen to me. In the selecting of a soulmate, that bride, that groom, that husband, that wife, you need to, outward beauty is vain. It helps. Have you seen my wife? It helps. Anyway, as someone said to me the other day, she looks like Nicole Kidman. I said, excuse me, Nicole Kidman looks like my wife. Just saying. Anyway, but you better find someone with a depth of character. Because you're going to go through life experiences should the Lord tarry, and that outward beauty will mean nothing. And besides that, if the Lord really tarries, you can, how do I say this lovingly? You can say bye-bye to the beauty. It's gone. I'm not going to go there. I'll get depressed. It's the depth of character. The spiritual maturity. Don't be too quick to dismiss that trial in your life. How do you know that it hasn't come for such a time as this? Because God wants to grow you. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to prepare you. God wants you to go deep into His Word. I'll tell you what, you'll never know the depth of the Word of God until you're in the depth of despair. Don't be too quick to dismiss it or fight against it. You do so to your own peril. Ecclesiastes 7:14, and I'll finally close. This will be my final closing right here. Ecclesiastes 7:14, when in the day of prosperity and joy, but when adversity strikes, stop and consider and realize that God packages them together, allows the one as well as the other, so that we will know that nothing is certain in this life.
Pastor J.D. will continue teaching verse by verse through Paul's letter to the church in Rome. We encourage you to place a marker in your Bibles and join us for another edition of In Spirit and Truth. In Spirit and Truth is the teaching ministry of Pastor J.D. Farag of Calvary Chapel Kaneohe in Hawaii. We pray today's message has blessed and encouraged you in your walk with Jesus. If today's message has blessed you, we want to invite you to join us for one of our worship services. We meet Thursday nights for an in-depth Bible study at 7 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10:45 a.m. Stop by and join us. If you have any questions or would like more information about In Spirit and Truth, send us an email. That address is info@inspiritandtruthradio.com. That's info@inspiritandtruthradio.com. Don't worry, if you haven't been able to jot that information down, you can always visit our website, log on to www.inspiritandtruthradio.com. Again, that's inspiritandtruthradio.com. And don't forget to join us this Friday and Saturday for Pastor JD's weekly prophecy update. We'd also like to invite you to check out our YouTube channel and Facebook pages. You'll find links to our YouTube channel and Facebook at inspiritandtruthradio.com. And finally, if you use an iPhone or Android-based smartphone, In Spirit and Truth is available through our mobile apps. There's a link on the homepage for the In Spirit and Truth iPhone or Android app. From all of us here at In Spirit and Truth, we want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God bless you.